Okay, welcome to the class on Bitachon, on trust in God. And unfortunately today, there's a lot of people with worries. Everyone has worries. And some people just worry too much. They worry too much. And sometimes people think, you know, I'm worried so much because I don't want things to happen. That's why I worry. I worry so that bad things will not happen. But we know that sometimes when a person worries, it causes troubles to them. How does it cause troubles to them? Number one is, it affects their bodies.
Stress
causes more stress. So when a lot of worries, it can lead to high anxiety. It can cause a person to become ill just by worrying. A person can make themselves sick by worrying. In fact, there's a saying, sick with worry. So a person could be sick. So worrying is feeling uneasy or being overly concerned about a situation or a problem. And when a person worries, it may cause anxiety, even panic. A person might get in a panic because they're worried so much. Many chronic worries tell of feeling a sense of impending doom or unrealistic fears that make their worry even more. So they get more scared and they're more worried. It's a vicious cycle. So a person sometimes is ultra-sensitive to their environment. Sometimes they're too sensitive to other people's criticisms. And excessive worriers might be a kind of paranoia. They're worried, they look at everything as a threat. Everything becomes a threat. Oh, this person said this to me, it's a threat. My boss has frowned at me today, it's a threat. I'm scared of my job, I'm scared about this, I'm scared about that. So chronic worrying can affect a person's daily life. It can affect their appetite. Either way, sometimes people worry, they eat too much. Some people worry, they don't worry, eat enough. It's amazing, it affects their appetite. Sometimes it can affect their lifestyle. Sometimes it affects their relationships. They can't have a good relationship with someone because they worry so much. It affects their sleep. They can't sleep at night. Why can't you sleep? I'm worrying. I can't sleep. It affects their job performance. The guy's worried about his job that he can't do the job. He's worried about every little thing. Can't do the job. So it's so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyles. People smoke. Unfortunately, people smoke a lot. Why? They said it relaxes them. Because they're nervous. So that every time they're nervous, they pull out a puff of cigarette. It's amazing. So, or they overeat. Or they use alcohol. And the worst thing, they use drugs. Person's worried. So drugs. So whether they're drugs prescribed by a doctor, or whether they're drugs not prescribed by a doctor. Because they're worried. So what is anxiety? I mean, I'm just giving you a little bit of medical background before we talk about the Jewish cure for worrying. Well, the Jewish cure for worrying is bitachon. And it's very hard to get to that level of bitachon where a person says, I'm going to put all my worries, let God worry about it. Who am I to worry? Let Hashem worry about me. Hashem's worry about me anyway. Let him worry about my worries as well. Why do I have to worry about it? Right? Everything is in God's hands. And that's a very, very healthy attitude, which we're going to get to. But in the meantime, a lot of people today have stress. Stress, anxiety disorder, panic disorder, social anxiety. Right? Anxiety disorders are commonplace. Nearly 40 million adults. How much is that percentage-wise? So there's 300 million people in America. So nearly one-sixth of the population has some kind of anxiety. Nearly one-sixth of the population. And it's any age, any gender, any race. Anxiety disorders. So stressful events such as a test or a job interview can make people feel anxious. And sometimes a little bit of anxiety is good. Why? Get adrenaline pumping and it's helping. So if you're preparing for a job interview, a little worry, anxiety may push you to find out more about the position, may push you to be more prepared. You have an exam coming up, but pushes you to prepare better for the exam. But excessive worry might trigger more worse things, anxiety. Chronic worriers can have great distress, disability. It's harmful when it becomes so irrational that a person can't focus on reality. They're so worried, they can't, it's out of, now once a person gets so worried, like for example, the mother's worried because her child didn't come home yet. And it gets to the point where they start imagining all sorts of bad things happen, and they get really anxious, they start calling, all of a sudden the kid walks in. So why are you so worried? My bus was late. It's like, so sometimes a person, the imagination takes over. And that's the problem. So high anxiety have difficulty shaking their worries. They may actually experience physical symptoms. That's amazing. So the worries cause anxiety. Anxiety causes stress. And stress comes from the demands and pressures we experience every day. Suppose today life is full of stress. In those days, you lived in a farmhouse, right? The stress was, is it going to rain or not rain? Are the crops going to grow or not going to grow? Okay, it's a long-term worry. But in the meantime, you're surrounded by, grass and fields, hopefully, and nice things around you. And the stress comes down because it's a quiet lifestyle. Today, you have to drive. That's stressful, right? Not about you, especially rush hour. It's stressful. There's doing roadworks and there's traffic. Gosh, it's terrible. Parkway, the turnpike, the this, that. So you have stress from the driving, you have stress long lines at the grocery store, you have stress phone ringing nonstop, emails, and it's even worse. We carry a little cell phone instead of making life easier. Well, it does make life easier. But it also causes a lot of stress because why are you getting this email, that email, text, that, your whole mind is all over the place. Chronic illness, worst thing. Person with illness, not well. And plus, he's worried about his sickness now. He's worried about medication, doctors, this, that. So that causes the body to wear out, and it causes a stress response. And there are two elements to the stress response: fight or flight. Either fight, right? Adrenaline's going. What's the idea? The idea is either you fight or you run. So that's what That's what it's called: fight or flight response. And what do we do with that fight and flight response? And the answer is we don't have that today, but it could be a demanding co-worker. Suppose, what should I do? Leave the job? Or should I fight the guy? What should I do? The baby is crying. It drives you crazy. What do? You run away from the house. You leave the room. But you can't. You still care for the baby. So unfortunately, people tend to violence. Some parents get very violent. Fathers especially get violent. Or a dispute with a loved one. What do? Marriages break down because of anxiety and worries. Most marriages break down because of money. People don't realize that. Majority of marriages, the breakdown of marriages, because of finance. It's a terrible thing to worry about. And the worst part of it is the divorce causes worse financial problems. People don't realize. how many homes I've seen, beautiful homes, the lawyer gets more of it than anyone else. The lawyers win. The lawyers are the winners in these cases. So can worry make a person ill? And the answer is, they can trigger a host of health problems. A host of health problems. And there's a whole list of, I don't even want to scare you, all these health problems. Difficulty swallowing, dizziness, dry mouth, fast heartbeat, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability. A lot of people today are irritable. Muscle aches, muscle tension, nausea, nervous energy, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, trembling, twitching. And what happens is, the chronic anxiety and outpouring of stress hormones causes other physical consequences. Suppression of the immune system, that leads to all sorts of sicknesses. Digestive disorders, muscle tension, short-term memory loss. The guy's under pressure, he can't remember what's going on. And it's the worst. Artery disease, heart attacks, depression, even suicide. All this anxiety, stress, worries. All these effects are a response to stress. Stress is the trigger. So does a person become ill out of this? Depends on how a person handles stress. So physical responses to stress involve immune system, your heart, the blood vessels, how certain glands in the body secrete hormones. It's amazing how complicated the body is. A little bit of stress can affect the body. A lot of more worries, more the body's affected. It's amazing how these things can affect the body. So what can a person do? So what do Jews do? What do we do about stress? So we have our own system about stress. And the answer is bitachon. The answer is bitachon. One of the answers is bitachon. But the problem is, how do you get to a level of bitachon where a person says, really, how do I pass my burdens on to God? Well, number one is, we've got to start off with emunah. Emunah, we talked about last week and a few weeks ago. We said emunah is not believing in God, but knowing that God exists. Knowing there's a God who exists, that's number one. And number two is knowing that God cares about us and can interfere in our lives. He cares about us a lot because He is our divine parent. And if you're a father, you'll know how much you care for your children. If you're a mother, you know how much you care for your children. Hashem is our father and our mother. Oh boy. Hashem cares so much about us. And we have to take advantage of that. Hashem loves us so much. We have to take advantage of that. So we have to walk around feeling Hashem's hand is holding our hand. Obviously, Hashem doesn't have a hand. It's nice to imagine. You know, the Arizal says that about a sukkah, right? The Arizal says, what's the minimum size of a sukkah? 2 and a bit walls. Why? He says it's God's embrace. One wall, second wall, third wall. When a person sits in the sukkah, you're meant to feel like you're in God's embrace. It's, imagine, a person says, Ya Hashem, just I want to feel your embrace. I feel myself enclosed by you. I feel myself embraced by you. Obviously, it's not physical. It's a spiritual concept that Hashem's protection is over us. And there was a rabbi, Diana Bromsky, very, very famous rabbi in England. When he wore his talit, he says, Hashem, I want to be under your protection. So talit really symbolizes God's protection. It's amazing. You wear a talit, man wears a talit. In fact, the woman, when she walks under the chuppah is the protection of the man. She's walking into the man's... In fact, this Friday, we put the talit over the woman as well. So it was, welcome, you're going to be under my protection as well. And both of us are under God's protection. So Dayan Abramsky, when he wore his talit, would say, God, I'm under your protection. So truth is, he was a Dayan in London during the Second World War. And he was judging a case of divorce. And just then the V-2 rocket landed on that building. The Germans, Nazis had more rockets. Very advanced. The V-2 rocket landed on the building. The whole building was demolished. And the students going crazy. Where's the rabbi? Digging. Everyone else is dead. They find him alive, untouched. Miracle. They say, Rabbi, how did you escape? He said, because every day when I wear my talit, I say I want to be under your protection, Hashem. So it's a tremendous opportunity. Every day a person prays, Hashem, ufros aleinu sukkah shalomecha, please put over us your sukkah of protection. And we pray every day. It's not even Sukkot. And we're praying your sukkah of protection. So we see sukkah is a symbol of God's protection. And we know sukkah is a gematria of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei plus Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is 26. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 21. How much is that together? 47. Right? So 47. How much is the gematria of sukkah? 91. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. 26 and 65 is 91. So 91. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. Nun is 50. So Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. And Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is 26. 91 is the gematria of sukkah. So in God's name, you're in a sukkah. You mention Hashem's name. Whenever you say Hashem's name, Avo Elecha Berachti, Hashem says, Kol HaZocher Shemi, Kol HaZkir Shemi, Avo Elecha Berachticha. When you mention my name, I'm going to come and bless you, Hashem says. Every time you say a blessing to Hashem, He's blessing you. But a person's going to have this in mind. It's good to have in mind. I'm triggering God's blessing by blessing Him. When I bless God, it's triggering God's blessing. Because when you acknowledge Him, He acknowledges you. So it's very, very critical. We have to learn how to enable ourselves to get God's protection and pass our worries on to God. This way a person will not be worried at all. A person will be complacent, which is very hard to do today. Be complacent. And we have this idea of Gamzu L'tova. Whatever happens for the best, right? So a person says, you know what? This happened, okay. Happens for the best. Whatever happens for the best. Whatever happens for the best. Whatever happens for the best. Hashem will somehow make this good. It's a very high level of existence. But that's a tremendous way. We don't go that far because the Shulchan Aruch says we go the next level down. What's the next level down? Kol ma de avid rachmana letav avid. Whatever God does will be for the best. Say the bad is good, that's a very high level. But to say that God will do something and will be for the best, it will eventually, good things will come out of it. So there's many stories, people got sick and they go for a test and they find something worse than cure them. If they wouldn't have, say a guy wouldn't have gone into a minor car crash and they took him to the hospital, they wouldn't have found out that he has a cancer or something. So these are cases that happen. The guy missed the flight and the flight crashed. I knew a true story, Lockerbie. The Jewish guy missed the flight. And he was lucky he missed the flight, Baruch Hashem. So, but he's, you know, he missed the flight. He's going crazy. I missed the flight. I need to do a business deal over there. But then a few hours later, he's the happiest guy in the world. So, Gamzu L'tova, I was going to remember, Gamzu L'tova. Missed the flight. God has a plan. I don't know what God's plan. I missed the train. So, you got two guys on the platform, missed the train. One guy's cursing and swearing. The other guy's calm. What can I do? How is he calm? Because he said, listen, God must have a plan for me. And God will make this good, somehow. Something good will come out of it. So it's a very important idea of peace of mind and serenity. A person gets peace of mind by trusting in God. A person gets peace of mind. It's so important to trust in God. So let's just go through a few of these advantages of trusting God. So obviously a person can avoid all these sicknesses and all the stress and strain if they really trust in Hashem. And it's so hard to get to that level. Huh? It's a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do. And that's why we need to learn how to get to that level. That's what we're doing. But first, let's talk about the advantages, and then you'll want to get to the level. If we don't find out what the advantages of trusting God are, so first of all, we learned today, what are the disadvantages of not trusting God? Stress. Anxiety, stress, and all the sicknesses that they can be caused by the stress. Terrible sicknesses that could be caused. The immune system goes, heart attacks, that's amazing. What can be done? Marriages break down. Well, other things, families fall apart because of stress. People can't handle stress. People can't handle worries. They go on drugs and alcohol and all sorts of things because of stress, because of worries. So how does a person get rid of the worries? And how does a person get rid of the stress? And the answer is, a person's got to believe there's a God. And God has a plan. And I cannot... The Chafetz Chaim says a beautiful idea. He said a guy is late for his appointment and he's on a train. It happens always. When I was in a rush, New Jersey Transit is always late. When I'm not in a rush, New Jersey Transit is early. I miss the train usually. It's a very strange phenomenon, New Jersey Transit. I couldn't figure it out. So when I'm late, the train is even later. When I'm early, it's early. It's very strange. So I'm in the train. So Chafetz Chaim gives an analogy. You're late for a business meeting. And you're on the train. The train's not moving. What do you do? You go to the front of the train and push the walls of the train. Is it going to help you?
No.
Why not? I'm pushing the walls of the train. So Chafetz Chaim says the same thing in life. If we push too much, it's not going to help. You're in the train, and the train is moving. It moves at its own pace. Life moves at its pace. Depends on who you are, what's happening. It's at your pace. You can be stuck in a traffic jam. What happens to me when I'm stuck in a traffic jam? I say, Shira Malot. It always works. It's a miracle. I tell you, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I'm stuck in a traffic jam. I say, Shira Malot, Kashem, get me out of here. Somehow the traffic starts moving. I don't know. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So if you have someone to call to, that's number one. Person has an address to it. You have a complaint. Who do you address your complaints to? Head office. Where's the head office? Up there. How do you get to head office? Just by talking to God. It's head office. You have a complaint, you talk to God. Our prayers are really the best mechanism to release our worries. Because I can't do anything about it. I have a son who needs to get married. What do? I pray to God. Hashem, let him get married. Amen. All our singles over here in the shul, I pray to God, let them all get married. Why? I can't do anything about it. I'm so useless at making shiduchim. I'm not the best guy in the world about this. So, everyone with worries, they have an address. Pray to God. It's interesting, the Chafetz Chaim says a person's got to pray for their children. In three places in the Tefillah, he says, especially to pray for one's children. In the first one is when we say Birkat HaTorah. Anachnu v'tzeitzeinu v'tzeitzeitzeinu. We and our children should all know your name. So we're praying for our children, we're praying for our progeny, all our children, all. Or our students are our children as well, we pray for our students as well. And then before the Shema, Avat Olam, Aftanu, the prayer for learning Torah, our children should also learn Torah. And then Ubal Etzion, Loni Galarik, we should not work for nothing. Loni Led LaBehala, we shouldn't give birth LaBehala for worries, for troubles. Our children should not be our child troubles. So these are things we can't do anything about. Sometimes, you know, when they're gone, they're gone. What do we have to do? Pray for them. Pray a lot for them. So trust in God really helps a person physically. We have to realize that. It's a spiritual thing that can help a person tremendously with all their physical ailments. Because a person's sick, now they're worried about it, it's making them even sicker. So how do you get rid of that? The answer is, trust in God. So you can imagine a person walking around with a smile. And by the way, that's one of the ways to see a person's spiritual level. If a person's happy all the time, they must be on a high spiritual level. Because there's no way a person doesn't have worries. Every single person walking around the streets has worries. We all have worries. We all have to pay bills. You all have to pay tuition. Oh boy, you have to pay other things coming out of your pocket and other worries and other troubles. Person looking for a job. Person looking for a wife. Person looking for this. We're always looking. Always. Everyone has their troubles. And if I knew what your troubles are, I wouldn't want your troubles. And if you knew what my troubles are, you wouldn't want my troubles. Everyone has troubles. There's no one in the world with no troubles. So how come some people are smiling and some people are not? So there's a beautiful story. It says there's a rabbi and his wife. Okay, so the rabbi's always happy and his wife's always worried. So one day she can't take it anymore. She says, "How come you're never worried?" He said, "Look, you always said I have a very quick brain, right? So the time it takes you to worry, I worry that much because my brain is so fast. I worry very fast. That's one nice way of putting it. To worry very fast and get it out of the way. So you worry 5 minutes a day. Person says, you know, I got to do this. I make a list. This is what I have to do. I do. Okay, Hashem, that's it. Now it's up to you. I did my business. Now you, it's up to you. It's very hard to get to that level. It's very, very hard to get to that level. But you know what? Person doesn't get to that level, never be happy. Because there'll always be something in their head knocking away and saying, you got to worry about this. You got to worry. And that's the biggest test in the world. Hashem wants to know how we respond. That's the test. The test is of Emunah and Bitachon is how do we respond to all these crises in life. And you know what? We're in the right parasha. We're exactly in the right location of the Torah. Avraham Avinu has 10 trials. And there's a big debate between Rashi and Rambam what the trials were. Rashi says the trials happened even before he left. He brings Midrashim. The king didn't like him, he put him in jail, and he put him in the fire. It's all trials of Avraham Avinu. Now, can you imagine, what is my worry when look at Avraham Avinu's worry? They're going to lock him up, they're going to kill him. Did he have worries? Yeah, all in God's hands. I believe in God, trust in God. Otherwise, he didn't have to be locked up. He could have just said, okay, I believe in the idol. You know, very easy. No, I don't believe in the idol. I believe in God. He causes his problems. He causes it because of his belief system. And he believed that God will save him. Just like you find the three Jews. Mishael, Azariah, and? Huh? What? No, that's the, okay. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the Persian names. There were three Jewish people who did not bow down to the idol. All the other Jews bowed down to the idol. And the king put them in the fiery furnace. And the miracle happened. They're safe in the fire. Amazing. So it's a miracle. Why a person puts their faith in God, puts their trust in God. And Hashem says, okay, you put your trust in me. They says they before that they went to the prophet Ezekiel, Yahazkel, and they said, will we be saved? He said, no, you're not going to be saved. So they were saved. And they asked the prophet, afterwards they asked the prophet, say, how come you told us we're not going to be saved? He said, if I told you'd be saved, you wouldn't have the merit to be saved. You have to go in there thinking you're going to die, and with that merit, it's going to save you. Wild story. Boston. But what are the advantages of trust? So number one is there's physical advantages. Not worrying, and not getting anxious, and not getting high blood pressure, and not getting this, letting the stress affect you. It's so hard. But the main one is, number one, it makes you independent. Now you're independent. You're not bound to anyone. But it says, you know what? This boss doesn't like me. I have a different boss. My boss is the real boss up there. I'm not so concerned about currying favor with this one and currying favor with that one. Because I believe in Hashem. God is my boss. There's a beautiful book we have in the library called All for the Boss. Excellent, excellent. You have to read that book. All for the Boss. It's about Rav Yaakov Herman, who came to America penniless, and every time he worked, they threw him out because he had to keep Shabbat. So eventually he opened his own business and very, very, very successful. And everything he did, he says, I'm doing it for the boss. Who's your boss? Hashem. I'm doing everything in the world he did. All his life, he ran his life for the boss. He called Hashem the boss. I'm doing it for my boss. So you have to understand who the boss is. Our boss, Avraham Avinu, that's it. Everything he did was for Hashem. Everything he did for Hashem. So number one is, trust in God makes a person independent. Why? Because I don't need people. I'm not scared of people. Why? God is my boss. That's it. I'm not scared of people. Number two, it gives a person peace of mind. It's a tremendous, tremendous advantage of believing in Hashem is gives you peace of mind. Even though a person's really stuck and there's nothing to turn to, obviously you've got to try your best. After you try your best, there's nothing you can do. I'm worried. It's going to eat a person up. But a person says, you know what? Hashem, it's in your hands. There's nothing I can do. It's all in your hands, Hashem. So already that helps the process of relieving worry.
I have worries. I went for blood work Friday. Yeah. For my medical doctor. Now it is. If everything's okay, we don't call you. If something is not okay, so.
So you're waiting for a phone.
Monday, I didn't get a phone.
Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem.
So it's like every day. So now I know it's in God's hands. Whatever it is, it is. So that way I don't have to worry.
That's right, exactly.
Because then I got to, you know, I'm waiting for the phone call.
Don't wait. Please. It's not going to be a phone call. Right. That's it. That's it. Bezrat Hashem. Don't worry, they call straight away. If there's no phone call, it's a good sign. Baruch Hashem. Don't worry. That's it. But you know what? The person who worries will call them. The person who worries will go nuts. He'll call them. You didn't call me. What happened? Everything okay? That's why we didn't call you. Everything's fine. Don't call us, we'll call you. So a person who trusts in God will have inner tranquility and peace of mind. By the way, people like people who are at peace. It's a very, very important concept. People do not go to other people for advice if they're not at peace with themselves. You don't go to a mashugana for advice. You know, if someone is full of worry and anxious, and you go, oh, man, what about this? What about this? You don't go to them for advice. You go to someone who seems to be able to cope with their own lives. If he can cope with his own life, maybe I can worry him about something else. So transfer your worry to someone else, right? So a person who trusts in God will have inner tranquility, peace of mind. You know, we trouble ourselves too much. We worry too much. It's a big problem in our lives. We all worry too much. And usually it's things that there's nothing we can do about them. If it's going to happen like this, it's going to happen like this. Because things you can worry about, but you try your best. Suppose it has legal troubles, get a lawyer. You have financial things, you go to an accountant, whatever it is. But then you're going to worry about it, then you're going to drive yourself crazy. You tried your best, you're going to try your best. So it's very, very important to try and trust in God and learn how to trust in God. And it's baby steps, basically. Right? A person's going to learn baby steps. Trust in God in this. God will get me to work safely. That's already one worry less. God will bring me back from work safely. God will provide for me today. I get breakfast, I'm going to have lunch, I'm going to have dinner. Wow, that's... So a person says, you know what, I know I'm going to have breakfast. You're trusting God. You're trusting God will bring you the breakfast. It's amazing how... Sometimes, you know, I'm thinking, I need a glass of water. And someone brings me the glass of water. And he's right here. It's amazing. It's a miracle. Without even asking, just a thought comes into your head. I'll tell you what happened to me one day. This is weird. This is wild. This is really... I wish it happened more often. In a good way. I was one day walking to shul, and I don't know if you remember the old sign outside. Remember the old sign outside? There's an old sign, Eitz HaChaim. I walked to shul, it was a Shabbat. I walked to shul, I said, that sign is so disgusting, we really have to change that sign. So I'm over here, we're praying Shmoneh Esrei, we heard a big loud bang. There was a car crash right into the parking lot, went right into that sign. Knocked down that sign, we got a brand new sign. I was just thinking that, I'm saying, it was just in my mind, that sign was in my mind. Hashem said, no problem, I'll take care of it for you. I said, wow, this is amazing, I wish I could do this more often. Just think about something, but it just shows how dangerous what we think. A person always going to think good thoughts. It's very, very, so our thoughts, and we've had a book, we read the book about this, it's all in your mind. Our thoughts, so say a person says, you know, I want my son to get married. Imagine yourself in the chuppah dancing. That's a good thought. A person's going to have these good thoughts all the time. And the good thoughts create good things. It's amazing. Hashem says, oh, you have a good thought. I'm going to make it a reality. I'm going to take your good thought and make it a reality. So a person has to have positive thoughts. A person's going to think, you know, I'm going to get a good job. It's going to be a better job. It's amazing. Amazing what Hashem can do. If a person believes in Hashem, the power of God, it's amazing. Hashem's power is amazing. Hashem created this world in not even seconds.
And
boom.
I need jobs because of Hashem. That I really
exactly. Believe. I believe as well. Yeah. I believe 100%. There's no question about it. Hashem wants to get you out somewhere, He'll get you somewhere. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is pray. Just pick up the phone and call. We have to pick up the hotline. Call to Hashem. Kaveh el Hashem. David HaMelech says, Kaveh el Hashem. We say every day in our tefillah. Kaveh el Hashem. Hope in Hashem. And what happens? Nothing happens. Chazach v'yametz libecha. Strengthen your heart. V'kaveh Hashem. And do it again. You pray to Hashem, it doesn't work. Pray again, and pray again, and pray again, until eventually the doors open. It's amazing. Amazing. It's a miracle. It's really a miracle. So a person trusting Hashem will have inner tranquility. Peace of mind. And people today have peace of mind. Amazing. Trust in Hashem. I know my father, when he had worries, he would say Tehillim. And after the Tehillim, he'd be a different person. He'd come full of trust. Because that's what David HaMelech was. David HaMelech was the fountain of trust. If you read the words of David HaMelech with all his troubles, I mean, this man was persecuted all his life, practically. Even at the end, we're learning about he's persecuted by his own son. He has to run away in old age. Imagine you're in your 60s, running away from your son, who's revolting, rebelling against you. Terrible. And everyone's crying, and he's strong. He's writing a psalm. It's wild. Why? Because if God is with me, I don't care. What's the fear? And that's one of the beautiful stories in the Tanakh is the story of Elisha. Elisha is surrounded with the armies of Aram, Syria. And he has with him a boy who's trembling. He says, Elisha, how come you're not scared? He says, why? He says, you don't see? He says, see what? He says, Hashem, help him to see. Hashem opened the boy's eyes and he sees millions of angels surrounding them. He said, now you know why I'm not scared? He said, wow, that's amazing. We just don't see it. If we could only open our eyes and see, like Israel, like we're worried, I'm worried about Israel. Israel, it's you know, it's in the middle of 200 million enemies. What's going on over there? And the answer is that Hashem puts his angels around them. So that's a beautiful idea. We really have to think about it, that angels accompany us wherever we go. At least in one time of history. When you go home, it says, we say it. Boi b'shalom. Right? Malachei ha-shalom. Come in peace, angels of peace. Where are the angels? Where are the angels? I don't see angels. The angels walking around with us. We have to realize that. Hashem sends angels. If we believe in it, it's there. If you don't believe in it, it's like the Rambam says, if you believe in Olam Haba, you get Olam Haba. You don't believe in Olam Haba, no Olam Haba. What? My belief creates my future reality. Wow. Person's belief creates the reality. Person believes in Hashem, Hashem says, that's it, I'm here. Person says, I believe in you, Hashem, I believe in your protection. I believe in my protection is here as well. You trust in me, it's here for you. So that's amazing. We create things with our beliefs. We create things with our trust. We create things with our mind. So he now wants to, the Rav Bachya bin Ibn Pakuda, who is the author of this work, which is one of the first Musar books in history. Apart from the Gemara, it's been stories, but it's not really pure Musar. This is one of the first books of Musar written in history 1,000 years ago. Rav Bachya ibn Pakuda was a Dayan in Saragossa, Spain. He was a Dayan. And he would compare a person with trust to an alchemist. Now in those days, people really believed that there was a way to transform base metals into gold. It's like, if you could do that, you're going to be a multi-billionaire. Yeah, you're a pharmacist, right? You'll know what it's like to transform, take some elements and make it into a different element. So gold, make a fortune. Take lead and make it into gold. Lead is cheap and gold is very expensive. So people believe in that. That's where original chemistry came from. All these alchemists who were trying to figure out how to transform things into gold started inventing things. They started doing things. But no one's ever found this mechanism by which you can take gold, leather, and make it to gold. Okay, so he could try, this alchemist. That was like the nirvana. That was like the goal of everyone. I want to be able to transform base metals into gold. So, person's multi-billionaire. So Rabbi Chaim Kadu is saying, even if it's possible, a person with trust in God is even better, has a better life than an alchemist. How? In 10 ways. 10 ways. So even though the alchemist was considered the epitome of worry-free, so let's take a billionaire. Okay, today there's no alchemist. We don't believe in alchemy. Say a billionaire. You got a multi-billionaire. Okay, we have a president-elect who's a multi...
He's taking $1 for a salary. He's
yeah, isn't it great? Like, he's like Bloomberg, took $1 for a salary in the mayor of... Where do you get a president who's going to take $1 for a salary? Isn't that great? That's already something great, right? You get $399,999 back to the country. Psh, that's a lot of money back. Baruch Hashem. You got a good president has a discount. Let's see if it's worth it. You get what you pay for. I'm sorry, no, just joking. So, we get a president at a discount. It's not bad. That's good. That's already a good start, right? So the deficit will be less. My $399,999. Psh, that's amazing. Baruch Hashem. So what's the difference between a person who has a multi-billionaire and a person with trust in God? Who's better off? Why? So he gives you 10 reasons. 10 reasons. Number one. One who trusts in God has less worries than the billionaire. Why? Because the billionaire is going to do this and that. Yeah, he's worried about his business, corporation. Thank God he gives it to his kids. Now you guys run it. Okay, but even then you worry about your kids running it properly. Kids can run into the ground. Who knows what's going to happen? A person with no worries, peace of mind, right? So what are the different qualities? So number one, the alchemist needs equipment. He needs chemical elements, without which he can't do anything. But the livelihood of the person who trusts in God is always assured. One way or another, he'll find a livelihood. One way or another, he'll get a livelihood. Psh, amazing. amazing stories. How people got livelihoods, amazing stories. We talked about last time, about the Arizal, the time of the Arizal. And there's a student of one of the great rabbis. They all listened to him, and the rabbi told him about bitachon, bitachon, bitachon. And one day a wagon driver walked in, who was, he would collect clay to make pottery. You heard the story? You heard the story? He would collect clay to make pottery. And the rabbi told him about bitachon. So the guy says, I believe in God. I'm going back home, I'm not going to work. I say Tehillim all day. His wife says, you're not going home? You're not working? Not working? No, I believe in God. Trusting Hashem. The rabbi said, trust in Hashem, and that's it. I'm not working anymore. I'm saying Tehillim all day. So one day passed, 2 days passed, no food on the table, the children are starving, the wife's going crazy, what's going on? He said, okay, I'm going to sell my cart and my horse. All the only thing he had was a cart and horse to do all the work. He sells the cart and horse to a non-Jew. Gets money, and from that money they're living for 2 weeks. But eventually money runs out. The wife says, get a job, get a job. No, he says, I trusted Hashem. What happens? This cart, the driver, non-Jew, he went somewhere, he was digging, and he found treasure. The man found treasure. He put the treasure in the cart, and then he went back to get his shovel and stuff. He fell down, hurt his head, and died. The owner of the cart, the new owner. So the donkey doesn't know what to do. Where does he go? He goes back to where he normally goes. He went back to the house of this poor man. Psh. Power goes outside. He sees the donkey in the cart. And he sees the treasure. He doesn't know where the other guy is. Gone. So he sells the treasure. Lives the rest of his life. So the students of the rabbi, they say, how come this guy who came in one day, he became wealthy, and here we are every day? So that's what the rabbi said. He really trusted and you don't. It's a very high level. Obviously, it's a very high level. So there's different levels of trust. But you can say, you know what? I trust in God after I try my best. Some people say, listen, I'll trust in God. I'll buy a lottery ticket every day, and that's it. That's my work. If Hashem wants to give me, here's a vehicle to give me. Hashem doesn't want to give me, he won't give me. But it's a very high level to do these things. You know who used to do this was Rabbi Kahneman. Rav Kahneman was the Ponovitcher Rav. He was the rabbi of Ponovitch. He built this big yeshiva in Bnei Brak, Ponovitch yeshiva, amazing. He would buy a lottery ticket once a month. So listen, all I have to do, my ishtadlut is, I did my ishtadlut for a job. I'll buy one lottery ticket a month, and that's enough. I tried my best. God wants to give me, because the job is just a vehicle for God's blessing. You have to know that. A job is just a vehicle for God's blessing. So you get the vehicle, Hashem says, I'll fill it up for you. But it's just a vehicle. So we have to know that. Everything comes from God. So number one is the alchemist needs all these different things to make the business. Whereas a person trusting God doesn't need to do anything. For example, Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi is hiding in a cave. Where's his food coming from? Hashem sent ravens to pick up glatt kosher food from the king of Judah's table. The birds would come to the table and grab the food. I don't know how they got it. The palace. Imagine, glatt kosher from the king of Judah's table bring beautiful food to Eliyahu Navi in his cave. Psh, miracle. He didn't need anything. And from one cake baked on coals and a pitcher of water, Eliyahu Navi was sustained for 40 days. It's amazing. So when God is there, it's amazing. What can be done? What can be achieved? It's amazing. Number two. The alchemist must do things and follow procedures in order to get results. In the process, he might die from poisonous fumes, vapors, plus he's busy doing work all the time and tremendous strain around the clock. But a person who trusts in God is protected from harm and their mind is at ease. Hashem fills him with joy and happiness. He earns his livelihood with peace of mind, composure, and tranquility. This is amazing. Obviously, a person has to have trust in God. That's key. Number three, a alchemist is afraid to reveal his secret formula to anyone, for fear he may be killed for it. So it's really a big problem to be rich. You never know who's going to kidnap the guy, who's going to kidnap his kids. You know, I know a person who's very wealthy. He has guards for his kids. He's worried his kids. So kids walking around, they go to Europe, whatever, he hires guards. It's crazy. So a person who has trust in God, won't worry about gods and this and that and the other.
Robert, what about the tragedies that happen?
Right? Yeah.
The eight kids that died on Shabbat Friday night, oh, Shabbat,
terrible. It's terrible. It says
there's no answers for that, right?
There's no answers. These things you kind of Holocaust. We don't know what's going on. We have no idea what's going on. But we have to trust. And we know that in the next world, things will be different. There's two worlds. You have questions in this world, we only see part of the movie. You have questions in the movie, we only saw a clip of the movie. So now figure out the whole movie from the clip, we can't. So we have to look at all the whole picture. We don't know what the whole picture is, we just see a clip and we have a question on the clip. So we say, hey, Hollywood director, what happened to the rest of the movie? Well, you got to wait to see the movie. We can only see a little clip. Yeah, we don't see the whole picture. But a person with trust, listen, that father is still going. He's amazing. The father is still giving lectures and classes to the public. Amazing. But it's emuna, and how he survived. His wife also is alive. She got burnt terribly. One daughter, they got terrible burns, and he's still going. He's amazing. How do you have that bitachon to keep on going and accepting what God did and moving on? And he didn't give up his faith. It's amazing. It's a miracle. It's a man. It's a great man. So that's the proof. He trusts in God. He's not going to worry about anything. It's amazing. How can he do that? There's a rabbi in Israel, the son's a Rebbe. He lost his wife and 12 children in the Holocaust. Survives. Come on, the person go out of their mind. He survived, and he moved on, and he got married again. He had more kids, and he built up a dynasty in Netanya. Kiryat Sanz. Amazing. He built a hospital, Lanyado Hospital. One of the Sephardi guys, Lanyado, donated money for his hospital. Beautiful hospital. So he moved on with his life. How do you move on with your life? And the answer is, you move on. There's a book over here. Oh yeah, this book. It's called Refuge by Leo Horowitz, his father. And you see what he went through and to raise a children who went to yeshiva from that. It's amazing. He kept his faith and he kept his faith and he kept his faith. And Hashem survived. How do you survive? He survived hiding in barns. Amazing. And people around are being killed and shot and he's surviving. It's a miracle. See, his last story was he was sick. He was totally sick. And his stomach was there. He couldn't move. And he was lying in a wheat field. And the farmer was just coming, chopping the wheat. He's going to find him any minute. But he couldn't move. Chops, chops, chops. And looks at him, finds him. The farmer, the Polish farmer. And then he sees the farmer running. And who comes? Russian soldiers. The Russians had just captured, just imagine, when he is collapsed, the Russians advanced and captured that place, and lucky the Pole didn't kill him, but instead he called the Russian soldiers. The Russian soldiers put him in a farmhouse and tell the farmer, this Polish farmer, you better look after him, he's our prisoner. You have to feed him and make him well again. So the Pole, who hates Jews, has to look after the Jew and feed him and heal him, and eventually the Russians come pick him up to question him. So they take him to the headquarters. He doesn't understand a word of what they're saying. Till they bring a Jewish officer. The Jewish officer, they start speaking Yiddish. And the Jewish officer, and he kisses the Jewish officer's hands. And the Jewish officer is embarrassed. He says, listen, writes him a note. He says, go to my wife and she'll help you. Go to the, he gives him an address. A Jewish officer gives him his address. Who would do that? Go to my wife's and she'll give you clothing and she'll help you and tell you what to do. So it's an amazing story. Look at this story. He got saved. One man got saved out of millions. What happened over there? No idea. Maybe his trust in God was great. I don't know. It looks like it. Because to raise a Jewish family after the war and put them through yeshiva and even more. And he was a simple guy. He was a house painter. He learned painting, which is amazing. The Nazis taught him how to paint. What do you mean the Nazis taught him how to paint? Well, they didn't. They put him in a work detail. And the work detail was to paint the Gestapo office. So he was painting again. That's how he learned how to paint. So imagine. And he met his wife in a DP camp. Who says he would have met his wife otherwise? I mean, it's amazing how you got to look for the silver lining in this story. It's amazing. You find silver linings in the story. He lost his whole family. So it's a tragic story. But the miracle is he's alive. The miracle is he survived and raised children. And the children are here. And now, sure. We're lucky. And grandchildren, they should all get married. But Hashem. Because I can't believe that Hashem would save him and the line would end. Must be they will get married. Has to get married. So the alchemist may do procedures and he may die by the poisonous fumes. But Hashem, person protects Hashem. Person protects a person. Number three, the alchemist is afraid to reveal his secret formula that people will kill him. But person trusts in Hashem does not fear anyone. Right, David HaMelech says, in Hashem I have trusted, I shall fear no evil. What can a person do to me? You trust in Hashem, nothing can harm you. Number four. The alchemist is caught in a bind. He doesn't know how much gold to produce. produce too much, maybe people will steal it and rob it. Produce too little, maybe it won't last them enough time. It doesn't know how much stock to carry. So David HaMelech says, and we say this in Bikkat HaMazon, I've never seen a tzaddik. What does the pasuk say? Lo, huh? Tzaddik ne'ezav al-zaro mevakesh lahem. I've never seen a tzaddik ne'ezav. What's ne'ezav? Left aside. So I've never seen a tzaddik who's abandoned. A tzaddik never feels abandoned. So that's the pshat. A person's never seen a tzaddik abandoned because a tzaddik is never abandoned. Lo rein tzaddik ne'ezav. I've never seen a tzaddik abandoned. This is Psalm 37. The alchemist, because it was illegal to be an alchemist. Amazing. Because the kings wanted to make sure no one would make gold. Then they have all the gold. They don't want people to have other gold. They don't, otherwise, the price of their gold goes down. It's amazing. The kings would kill the person who could produce gold. So he's scared people might denounce him to the king. But a person trusting God is respected by kings and by influential people. Amazing. And that's Psalm 91. Yosheb Beset Elyon. Betzel Shaddai Lonan. Number 6, the alchemist is not protected from illness and disease. He may be a multi-billionaire, but he can still get sick. Look at Howard Hughes. Talk about a person who worries. Paranoia. Howard Hughes, yeah. His company, what's his company? Hughes? Aircraft. I mean, that's, everything's being sold. Everything's been, I don't know who the heirs are, they're very lucky. But he was cursed, in a sense. So much, all this wealth, and he was paranoid. He wouldn't even see people face to face anymore. He was right by Germans. You would see them. It's amazing how he went from worst. He went downhill very rapidly. First, he would wear gloves before he touched people. Then he would clean all the doorknobs, and he wouldn't touch anyone. Finally, he wouldn't speak to people face to face. He'd wear a mask. Sugar now. So all the money in the world, but he lived in fear. Fear of what? Fear of germs. Every little thing, tiny little things. You can't even see them. But paranoia just says worry. But a person trusting God, better than Howard Hughes. Howard Hughes lived a life of fear. With all his money, he lived a life of fear. He was terrified. So a person trusting God is safe. Unless a sickness comes to atone for a transgression or to compensate for something. Number 7. The alchemist may not be able to feed himself despite his gold and silver. Because there may be a food shortage in the town. So he has all the money, but there's no money. There's no food in the town. But a person who trusts in God, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hashem ro'i lo echsa, nothing beefs. I'll have everything. I'll have food. Number 8. The alchemist cannot stay put in any one place. He's always running around so no one can find out what he's up to. But a person who trusts in God will live safely and securely in his country. It's wild. Number 9. This is probably the key. The alchemist cannot take anything with him into the next world. You can't take it with you. There are no pockets in the shrouds. Wow, that's a very interesting statement. There's no pockets in the shrouds. You can't take it with you. But a person trusting God will get rewarded for that trust. Imagine. It's amazing. We trust in Hashem. He protects us. Plus we get rewarded for the trust. And that reward, you can't even count. The reward is terrific. We can't even count. This world is not big enough for that reward. It's amazing. He'll get rewarded for the trust in this world and the next one. Habotech v'Hashem chesed yesovenu. Person trusting God will be surrounded by kindness. Person trusting God, surrounded by kindness, surrounded by favor. Marav tuvcha asher tzifanta l'recha. How much goodness you have hidden for those who fear you, Hashem. Hidden away in the next world. Tremendous. So imagine, a person trusting God, the reward in this world, the trust brings them ease and peace of mind. And reward in the next world as well for their trust. Tremendous merit of trust. If the alchemist's occupation becomes public knowledge, everything he does is against the laws. And therefore he's going to get punished. But people admire and honor one who trusts in God. People will consider themselves lucky to be near him and to see him. It's amazing. You see these rabbis. I'm going to talk about tomorrow, the Chazon Ish. Amazing. Here's a rabbi. And he has nothing. Physically, zero. He never even owned a house. He would rent his house. Says an American came and built a house, but he said, I'll only live in it. He built a house for him. He said, I'll only live in it if you give me a rental. He says, I'll pay your rent. So he gave him rent. So the American said, I don't want the money, give it to Stucker. So the rent went to Stucker, but he paid the rent every month. Stucker, amazing. Poor man, and there was lines outside his door. Why did they come to see him? And the answer is the bitachon he had brought people to see him. He had trust in God. It's amazing. It's like the power of trust in God. He has nothing. What? The Chafetz Chaim had nothing. Why do people want people flocking outside? See these great rabbis. They have nothing, honestly. Physically nothing. And there's millions of people trying to come and see them. What for? Because I want a bit of their emunah. I want a bit of their bitachon. They trust in God. I want them to bless me. I see they have that power. The energy is flowing through them because they trust in God. So that's it. Amazing. Mishle says, the righteous person is a foundation of the world. And this we see from the story of Lot in this week's parasha. That one city was saved because of Lot. He ran away to Tzohar, and Tzohar was protected because he was there. Even Lot, we said. We talked about Lot. That he had this duality about him. Wasn't as pure as Abraham. And some things he was a tzaddik, and some things he wasn't. But he had the merit to be able to save this whole city. Can you imagine? So we see this righteous person can, with his trust in God, has more of an impact than the multi-billionaires. You don't see people lining up to get to the billionaire and ask him. Well, they do. For advice, like Warren Buffett, they have people coming to flocking. But I'm saying these people don't have anything. Or they have. The people are flocking to see them and get brachot from them. Amazing. See, trusting God is amazing. Look at Rav Avadia Yosef. 800,000 people at his funeral. For what? What did they get from him? And the answer, they saw something in him that they wanted. They saw the brilliance of the man. They saw the kedusha of the man. They saw the holiness and other things. The bitachon. Trust in God is beneficial to serve Hashem. Because you can't have trust in God, will not be able to serve Hashem. You have to take time off. Imagine, it's so hard to be a from Jew, I'll tell you. Especially if you want to learn Torah. Why? Because in addition to the 9-to-5 job, which really wrecks you, then you got to come to shiur. That's why I became a rabbi, really. That's the real reason. Because, yeah, I'm working 9-to-5, and then I'm going to shiurim. So what difference does it make? I hardly see my wife anyway. You know? You hardly see your wife. You don't see your family. It's amazing. It's hard. How do you do this? So might as well become a rabbi. It's interesting. I was working one day, and the non-Jew who's working with me says, wait, I don't see people like you. You say, Birkat Hamazon, you go and pray mincha. Why don't you become a rabbi already? Sometimes non-Jews are smart. You know, they tell you, look, so become a rabbi already. So that's it. That's the answer. So trust in God is beneficial to one's observance of the Torah. If a person is wealthy, he'll quickly, eagerly, and generously fulfill his financial obligations towards God and his fellow man. Give stucco. If a person is poor, he'll say poverty is a favor from God, for it frees him from obligations. There's no one lining up outside his house for donations. It frees him. And also saves him from safeguarding his wealth. I don't have to go to financial planners. I don't have to go to the bank. I don't have to go to the... Nothing. That's why these guys are so smart. Because all their time they spend in Torah, they don't have to worry about the physical, financial stuff. They have no houses to rent. They have no people, the businesses. They have no this to worry about. Everything's worried about the Torah. That's it. So I just want to finish off on this note. And there's a story. I wish Hashem would save me from scattering my soul. That's a very, very interesting statement. Hashem, save me from scattering my soul. How do you scatter your soul? And the answer is, whatever we're thinking about, our soul is there. Rambam says, whatever you think about, your soul is there. So a person has many business dealings. He's thinking about this business dealing, he's thinking about this dealing, and this dealing, and this dealing. His soul is all over the place. He just scattered his soul. Having investments in every port and every city. Because my financial worries distract me from serving Hashem. So he's scattering his soul in a sense, because his mind is all over the place. The mind is the soul. It's very powerful. The thoughts are the mind. That's the soul. The Rambam says, what you think about, that's where you are. If I'm thinking about the beach, I'm on the beach. Right? If I'm thinking about, I'm learning Torah, I'm learning Torah. So it's amazing. If I'm thinking about it, I'm in shul, I'm in shul. So I don't want to scatter my soul. And the rabbi said, Pirkei Avot, marbe nechasim marbe da'aga. The more wealth, the more worries. Who is rich, a person is happy what he has. That's it. A person is rich by being happy. A person's got to learn how to be happy. Sameach b'chalko. A person trusts in God will attain the benefits of everything without the anxieties and irritations that plague a rich person. As Shlomo Melech says, a worker's sleep is sweet, But the rich man's abundance does not let him sleep. So how does a person know if they have trust in God? Number one is, do they sleep at night? And the answer is, depends how tired you are. If you're tired, you'll sleep, hopefully. But if you have worries, it's going to keep you awake. So it's very important to both trust in God. That's why the last thing we do, it's amazingly powerful, is we pray. Before we sleep, we pray. What does that do to a person? Number one, it says, we do vidui. I'm asking Hashem for forgiveness. And then we forgive other people. So we don't bear grudges before we go to sleep. And that keeps a person awake. All the grudges we bear keeps a person, eats a person up inside. And that's how we, Yosheb B'Seter Elyon, so powerful to give our burdens to Hashem and put our trust in Hashem. B'yadcha Afkid Ruchi, in your hands, Hashem, I put my soul. Pedita Oti Hashem Elamet, you will save me, Hashem, God of truth. So that's how we go to sleep, and that's the beginning of learning how to trust in Hashem. So can you imagine, the whole Kriyat Shema before going to sleep is all about trust in Hashem. We're trusting Hashem to give back our soul. What more do you want? If you can't trust Hashem to give back your soul, how are you going to sleep? I'm supposed to go to sleep at night. I don't know if I'm going to wake up in the morning. Trust Hashem. Yeah, Hashem, I'll give you my soul. If you can trust Hashem with your soul, how much more so you can trust Hashem with other things as well? So let's stop here and we'll continue next week. Be'ezrat Hashem, b'li neder.